Let your goodness bind my wandering heart to you. A Vashwood reincarnation story, written by Half-Demon Vash and read by Hades But Mortal. The tags on this fic are time shenanigans, reincarnation, multiple lives, some manga spoilers, also for the 98 anime, angst, temporary character death, meeting your soulmate across three separate lives, and then hitting him with a car, and time loop. In Vash's first two lives, he meets Wolfwood on a bus. It's the middle of the desert, and Wolfwood is in the process of being claimed by Sand and Sun, but Vash spots him, and what results is a fateful meeting that spins the rest of that first life off its axis. "So you can smile like that," Wolfwood says, with a little smirk and warming eyes. "I was starting to worry." Most people worry about Vash. Not many worry for him, but those who do eventually or even quickly become friends. Wolfwood becomes his friend. Throughout the deadly game Legato plays with him, taunting him with half coins and mercenaries, Wolfwood stays beside him. They are a team. They are partners. They are something neither wants to name, something that feels new and intimate. When Wolfwood looks at him a certain way, or calls him spiky in a certain tone, Vash heats like the metal of a just-fired gun. He's not used to this, and nothing has prepared him for it. He's scared all the time, of Knives' plans, of Legato's interference, of Wolfwood's ideology, of himself, for not being enough to put a stop to what's coming. Sometimes Wolfwood rubs his thumb over Vash's jaw. Sometimes Vash will pluck Wolfwood's cigarette from his mouth, "Hey, I'm not done with that," and replace it with his lips. Sometimes Wolfwood yells and rants and storms off, only to come back with an apology donut. The routine of it is almost soothing. The shootouts and the inns, the driving and the drinking. Lying curled against Wolfwood's side and counting each rib, like Wolfwood might have left one behind in the last town. They have moments when Wolfwood goes pale with rage and Vash gets quiet and unresponsive. They have moments they can't be bothered to part for air, leaving marks with both flesh and metal, a yearning to be fused into one unstoppable entity. "When I was younger, we had to go to church sometimes," Wolfwood tells him one night, when the moon slants across their open window and Vash is listening to the song of the man's heartbeat. "I didn't really believe in any of it, even later." He pauses to take a hit from his cigarette, the cherry flaring with everything he doesn't admit. "Is it weird that I'm starting to believe now?" Vash doesn't mind being something for Wolfwood to believe in. He is called monster. He is called angel. He is called demon. And somewhere between those lies a man Wolfwood willingly turns to. Vash has also never believed in anything beyond inherent goodness and the stars. But in Wolfwood, he sees flashes of God. In his smile, his hands, his eyes. The enormity of it swallows Vash whole. It terrifies him more than anything ever has. The first time Wolfwood dies, it's on a couch, outside an orphanage. He'd left without a word, as if he hadn't wanted Vash to follow. Vash mentally calls him an idiot because of course he would follow. But he isn't prepared for the showdown he interrupts, or for the realization that this is, after all, not his fight. He does what he can, but when he catches Wolfwood, it's like being struck by lightning. The shock goes through his system and leaves him numb. He can't even feel the daggers that pierce his shoulder. Wolfwood's body is giving out. He feels it. The struggling heart he once listened to in dim hotel rooms. The striving lungs that have held so much smoke and breath. There's only a little time left. A fraction of a fraction of a fraction of what Vash had hoped for. so he lets Wolfwood fight. Facing the orphanage, he silently howls. When all is said and done, they drink. They sit on a couch in the wreckage and share one last shot, watching paper confetti float through the air, like a send-off. "You always look better with a real smile," Wolfwood says, as if he isn't shredding him apart like all that paper, lost to the breeze. Later, Vash fashions a stone coffin, and after several moments' hesitation, carves a cross into the lid. Wolfwood deserves more. He deserves to live. But this is all Vash can offer him now. The body is light in Vash's arms, deceptively so. Wolfwood's head falls limply onto Vash's chest, and he has to fight not to unleash his power again. The hungry black hole of it, simply to give himself the mercy of their bodies being eaten away together. Instead, he lays Wolfwood inside the coffin and presses their foreheads together. Wolfwood's clothes are stained with blood. Some of it is Vash's. He supposes that's fitting. "Wolfwood," he whispers, soft in the creeping dusk like a secret. "Wolfwood, please, please." He doesn't even know what he's asking for. His thumb brushes over the line of Wolfwood's jaw, above a pulse gone quiet. "Open your eyes. Don't leave me. Tell me to smile again." But humans have their limits, which Vash knows far too well. The only thing he can do, other than crawl into the coffin with him, is slide the lid into place. And Vash learns that the end of the world sounds like the scraping of stone. He doesn't understand the second attempt he gets, or why some things end up so differently, or in a different order. He's a little mad with it, and he thinks it shows. His laugh is more off-kilter. His actions are even riskier, and when he meets the insurance girls again, he can't help but pester them. And then, another desert. Another bus. Vash has to pretend seeing Wolfwood again isn't the biggest blow he's ever taken. The girls think he's a terrible actor, but no one suspects he's met this man before. On another no man's land, in another life. So you can smile like that. Only with you, Vash doesn't say. He doesn't know how to charter this new relationship. The old one had been gradual and easy, the coming together of two opposite but magnetized forces. This one is a little wild, a little unpredictable. But in the end, they have their roles. Vash the Stampede and Nicholas the Punisher. One humanoid disaster, and his appointed minder. No one else has memories of before. He wonders if it's because he's a plant, that he stores energy and data in a way no one else can. It hurts when Wolfwood looks at him and sees a stranger. He worries what Wolfwood sees in his own eyes. He cries a lot in this life. Even the small things get him going. Someone in a bar drops their drink, and Vash starts blubbering, making Wolfwood smack the back of his head while telling him to knock it off. But he can't help it. Everything is too much all the time. He's a bank of memories and sensations. He feels, and it hurts. And in some ways, it's a relief. But even more of a relief is having Wolfwood at his side again. He can't stop doing certain things his past self would, like leaning against Wolfwood, or ribbing him the way he knows will make the other man flustered. He even plucks a cigarette from his mouth and leans in, and their eyes meet, startled, before Vash laughs and stammers something about smoking being bad for Wolfwood's health. "Why do you do that?" Wolfwood growls, grabbing him by the collar before he can retreat.
"Do what?"
"Make dumbass jokes while your eyes scream out in pain." Wolfwood tightens his fingers in Vash's collar, pulling him in closer. What the hell is wrong and why won't you tell me? As if Vash could explain it without sounding mental. He's already dizzy on cigarette fumes and Wolfwood's scent, a mixture of sun, gunpowder, and clean sweat. The cigarette dangles from between his fingers as he looks at Wolfwood's mouth, swallowing. Wolfwood curses colorfully and drags him in closer. The first kiss they share in this second life is like a battle, and Wolfwood's stubble scrapes at Vash's skin, but it's one of the greatest joys he's ever experienced. It opens the floodgates of that gnawing, familiar terror, especially when he dreams of a stone coffin. Those nights he becomes a live wire, encumbered with two worlds and their inconsistencies, their familiarities, and him between like a man out of myth, burdened to carry it all on his shoulders. It can't possibly end up like before, he thinks. Even if he couldn't stop July and the Fifth Moon incident this time around, their lead-up's not the same, giving him no time to prepare. He can surely stop what else he knows is coming. He's already done research into the Eye of Michael, but they don't seem to exist here, or at least they're better at hiding themselves. The gung-ho guns are here, though, and Legato is still playing games, but the rules are not the same. There are no coins. He doesn't see knives for a distressing amount of time. Things are dissimilar, and while it should put him on edge, he thinks it might give him an advantage. The second time Wolfwood dies, it's in a church. It's fitting in its own way, when Vash finally emerges from the fugue of watching Kane the Longshot kill himself, he notices the blood in the dirt. Thinking Wolfwood is only hurt, he curses under his breath and hurries along the path. Following each drop toward the one who bled them, like some hellish breadcrumb trail, Wolfwood is slumped over the Punisher. He kneels before the altar, a man praying to his god one final time before coming home to him. Vash wants to scream. He wants to howl the way he did the first time, railing at every injustice he's been handed, pleading with some invisible force in the universe to trade their positions. Let him be the one kneeling in need of repentance. Let Wolfwood be here, alive and breathing, with so much more to do. He doesn't scream. He doesn't weep. He's too numb for that. He takes Wolfwood in his arms. Wolfwood's head falls limply onto Vash's chest. Vash wonders if this is his curse. This time, Vash buries him. He loses himself in the strain of his arms as he digs, silent and hollow, the personification of an open grave. He lays Wolfwood down and lets his hand linger against Wolfwood's face. It's dusk. Only instead of a grim darkness, the sky is fiery with sunset, washing the ground crimson. Wolfwood, he whispers, and knows he won't be answered. He has to speak anyway, because it's all he can do. I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, I... Please. Again, he does not know what he's asking for. Later, when Millie weeps and Meryl is stricken, Vash wonders if he was asking to be forgiven. Vash is asleep the third time he meets Wolfwood. It's extremely unfair, all things considered. Here he was expecting a bus followed by a familiar line. Instead, they run him over with a car. Vash holds him in the back seat and tries not to laugh or weep with hysteria. He's here. He's here and I haven't even said one word to him yet. He's just gotten here and we've already killed him. Of course, he knows Wolfwood is stronger than that. And lo and behold, the priest, no, Undertaker, apparently, he'd make fun of him for it if he could, makes a speedy recovery. Meryl and Roberto clearly don't trust him, but Vash knows better. He's known this man in two worlds, two lifetimes. Things are, once again, different. This time, he's ready to divert July for as long as he can. And the Fifth Moon is still intact. But that doesn't change the keen way Wolfwood eyes him, A slow and intrigued assessment that has Vash feeling like warmed gunmetal again. They've not met in a bus, although a vehicle was still involved, Vash thinks wryly. And Wolfwood has not yet noted his smile. So he takes matters into his own hands. I can see it in his eyes, Vash says, and he has the distinct pleasure of being the one to throw Wolfwood for a loop, drinking in the way his eyes widen then narrow, the way he turns his head like he can't bear to be held up to Vash's scrutiny anymore. You really mess with me. In every life, Vash agrees. The first time, it was Rydei the Blade. The second time, it was Zazie the Beast. This time, it's Rollo. Rollo, that sweet boy he'd met running in the desert, whose mother had been so worried. Vash had told him he'd save him. And now here they were, with Rollo's hand around Vash's throat and another dusk coating the world in bloody light. The bullet goes through his head quickly. He supposes that is a small mercy. Why? Vash demands of Wolfwood, as if he doesn't already know the answer. They've been through this, over and over, in every way they can. He was a monster. He was going to kill you. It's kill or be killed. There'll come a day when you have to choose. It's always an agony seeing Wolfwood pull the trigger. The determination warring with reluctance on his face. A man who thinks of himself only as a devil, while everything else in him screams otherwise. Vash knows otherwise. He knows the way the man picks up children and helps older ladies with their chores. He knows the way Wolfwood laughs and sighs and cries. He knows the way Wolfwood's lifeless body feels in his arms. What? Wolfwood asks, the van bumping over small rocks and jostling them in the back seat. Vash has been staring too hard. He blinks and doesn't even try to smile, only swings his head back around to the window. Nothing. Now Wolfwood is the one staring at him. Vash lets him and is glad that in this life he decided to get bigger glasses. Why are you following me around? Vash asks on the steamer, partly to be a little shit, partly because he wants it out in the open sooner, to get it over with. I'm your babysitter, Wolfwood says, and Vash blinks. Wow, didn't know it would be that easy. Of course, the whole truth doesn't come pouring out, but there's no time for that. Everything in Vash goes cold with terror at the sight of Livio. No, not here, not now. It's too soon. I just got him back. The fear doesn't freeze him, but makes him faster. He meets Livio gun for gun, and the two of them enter a sort of macabre dance, one that ends with Wolfwood placing Punisher between them while he yells at Vash to run. I won't. I can't. But the Bad Lads gang takes the opportunity to board, and he must. Hard in his throat, he mows them down and gets back to Wolfwood as soon as possible, praying he isn't too late. Raslo hasn't made an appearance, but Livio is still acting strange. And for all that Vash knows Livio is a threat in this form, the man is capable of being saved. He also recognizes that Wolfwood gave his life to do just that, and is completely willing to do so again. It doesn't come to that. Livio shoots himself to make sure it doesn't come to that. Vash is torn between distress and relief. But again, there's no time. They have to stop the steamer before it crashes into Wolfwood's home, destroying everything he holds dear. Again, Vash insists he can do it without bloodshed, without the need for Wolfwood to sacrifice anyone on the steamer or himself. If the orphanage doesn't survive this, I'll hurt you so bad you'll wish you were dead before I kill you. Wolfwood's warning flows over Vash like water and plants a seed of warmth in his chest. He was trusting Vash already, after barely 2 weeks. Well, 2 weeks for Wolfwood, 2.5 lifetimes for Vash. But he understands how big this is, how open Wolfwood is being for him right now. Wolfwood. Shut up, Wolfwood growls. I'm the Punisher. He throws his cigarette to the ground, turning away before Vash can see the turmoil in his eyes. Nicholas the Punisher. And yet it seemed that in any world, the person he ended up punishing the most was himself. Vash would likely never admit it out loud, but he would do anything for Wolfwood. He has proven it, time and time again. He proves it now, once more, by communicating with the steamer's plant and revealing what he truly is. He did want things out in the open sooner. But it takes too much of his already flagging energy, and he drops. He ends up drifting for a while, between dreams of sailing through the stars, of Rem's voice, of past memories that have no context in this new life. He also dreams of a body in his arms, the scraping of stone, the drip of blood, his own wrecked sobs and his equally wrecked silence, the crackling static of his power blooming overhead, shutting out the world so that for one instant it's just him and Wolfwood. Imagine that. A world catered for the two of them, where they can meet without having to part. Vash wakes with a choked gasp. He clutches a hand in the sheets of the bed he's been laid in, his vision wavering as he fully comes back to himself. It takes a while. There are some places he has to stretch to reach. But he remembers. The plant. The steamer. Wolfwood. He sits up with a jolt. The man sits at his side, head pillowed in his arms on the bed. Vash's mouth trembles. He does not cry quite as easily as he once did, but he also does not laugh quite as easily either. Still, his eyes sting as he reaches out, gently stroking his fingers over the tussle of Wolfwood's dark hair. I missed you, Vash whispers, and his tears fall into his lap. He traces the edge of Wolfwood's cheek, the shell of his ear, the arch of one eyebrow. He greedily watches the way his back expands with every breath. Wolfwood. Please. Please. Unlike before, when he knelt at two separate graves, he now knows what he's pleading for. Let me get it right this time. The end. Thanks for listening.